Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know everything there is to love about your hometown Hoosier Lotto game? Like that it comes with an automatic multiplier that could multiply your non-jackpot winnings from 1 up to 10 times? Or, for a buck more, you can add plus for another chance to win up to $1 million. And for a limited time, enter non-winning tickets into the second chance promotion. Play your hometown's favorite Hoosier Lotto today. Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly.
Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, along with my co-host, Brother Mustafa Abdullah. Brother Mustafa, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, rahmatullah, brother Imam.
Yes, sir, alhamdulillah, praise be to God. We're here again for another segment, portion of Words Made People. We have a topic today. We hope we'll be enjoyed by all people, not just Muslims, but Christians as well. The topic would be the death, resurrection, and return of Jesus, Christ Jesus, according to the teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And we know this topic here is discussed a lot. I'm not sure how often that we as Muslims discuss it outside of our mosque or our own groups, but I think it would do a big service to humanity if we had a more open discussion on it and engage people, not just Muslims, but people of other faith traditions to join us in this conversation. As we always do, we begin Words Made People with reading from the best source of words, and that is the Holy Quran, the Word of God, revealed to Muhammad, but a mercy to all the creation. So we will read a short portion today. We will read from chapter 23, ayat 50. And before we read the Quran, it is such a special book. Before reading the Quran, we have to prepare ourselves. We just don't read without the proper preparation. And that is to get our mind in the right state, in the right mode of thinking. And we do that by saying two phrases. The first phrase in English is, I seek protection with God from Satan, the rejected enemy. And we say that in the Arabic, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. And then the second phrase that we say in getting our mind right, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahmanir Rahim. And that is to say, with the name of God, the merciful, benefactor. And all Muslims, we know to do that before reading the Quran. And we read here, it says, and we made the son of Mary and his mother a sign. And yes, it says, Waja'anna ibn Maryam wa ummatu iyatin. And that is to say, iyatin, forgive me, sadaqallahu al-azim. And that is the first part of this verse where Allah says in the Quran that we made Mary, we made the son of Mary and his mother a sign. Mm-hmm. And that is very important for us as Muslims, that we, as we have our discussion today, that we keep in mind that Christ Jesus and his mother Mary, given to us in the Quran, is given to us as a sign. And then, let me see, I wanted to get some other versions of the same reading from the Quran, different translations, and see what are they saying as well. I found that to be very helpful to getting a better understanding. And so when we look at the Muhammad Asad translation, it says, we made the son of Mary and his mother a symbol of our grace. And Muhammad Pickball says, and we made the son of Mary and his mother a portent. A portent also means a sign. Alhamdulillah. Do you have any comments, Brother Mustafa, you want to share at this time?
Well, Brother Imam, you know, the reading is clear. The reading is clear, and I think where a lot of us, you know, coming up in the church was blinded at, we didn't look behind the reading, or we didn't get an understanding of what Mary represented or even the son represented. And being a student of Imam Muhammad, he brought that to light, and he shined light on just not reading the words on the page, but try to get an understanding of what things represent, you know, when you read them. So, yes, sir. We'll talk further more on it as we get into the research.
Yes, sir. Okay. And so it says, and we made the son of Mary and his mother a sign. We gave them both shelter on high ground, affording rest and security, and furnished with springs. So they were lifted up to a higher position, a lofty position. And as we know, as Muslims, we know that the most honored of all women in the Quran is Mary, the mother of Jesus. As a matter of fact, there is no woman more lofty or held in a higher position than Mary, the mother of Jesus, and that's for all of Islam, that she's given a very noble status forever. And so, and I know some may think, well, would not the most honored woman be the wife of the prophet, maybe Khadija or Aisha, or maybe his mother, Amina? He says, no, the most honored of all women ever to be is the Virgin Mary. And I emphasize that the Virgin Mary. It's very similar as taught in the Bible, in the Christian religion, that Mary, the Virgin. So, alhamdulillah. I did want to, Brother Wally Kareem wanted to have some comments to make. I don't see his number yet on the computer screen here. But Brother Wally, if you are on, you can press 1 on your phone, and then we want to discuss their program before we get into our topic. But before we get to Brother Wally Kareem, I think I see him now. Before we get to him, we want to just make sure we have covered what we wanted to cover on this ayat from the Quran, that when it says that God made Jesus and God made his mother Mary, and they are made to be a sign, you know, and a sign is to give us guidance, to give us direction, to give us focus, saying that we're going somewhere. A sign is also saying that you have not arrived to your destination. You're on the road to your destination, but you have not got there yet. And it kind of reminds me, Brother Mustafa, it reminds me of the reading in the Bible when Jesus says, I can't tell you all things now. I think it begins off, he says, that it is expedient that I go away.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I can't tell you everything right now. He said, but I see one translation says, how be it when he comes, and when the comforter comes, that he will tell you the truth of all things, and he will tell you the truth about me. So that's even an indication from that reading of the Bible that there was something special coming after Christ Jesus. So when we read in the Quran says Jesus and his mother Mary are a sign. We're a sign that's saying the same thing. You're not there yet, but there's something coming. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Another thing comes to my mind, don't remember as you're speaking.
Yes, sir.
You know, some audience, some people that, you know, as we come around, when you get credit to the person who turned the light on for you, if you're sitting in a dark room or walking down a dark alley, you thankful for the person that shows up with a flashlight or turn on a light for you. So as we study and go through this conversation today, I have to continue to thank Imam W.D. Muhammad for shining the light on so many of us. Because we have been studying growing up, and we just didn't look at things the way we look at it now, seeing what the sign meant. If you're traveling on a long trip and you're going down Highway 55 and you never see a sign that St. Louis, 200 miles, you know, Chicago, 70 miles, you think you're on the wrong highway, going the wrong way until you see the sign. So Imam Muhammad has opened our eyes to we understand what it means when the Quran tells us or the Bible tells you that Christ Jesus and his mother was a sign to point us in a direction that we're trying to get to, you know. And as we go through this, I'm going to continue to thank or Imam Muhammad for Allah putting me in this sound study to be one of his students, where he shined the light on them to have an understanding even what the word mother represents. You know.
Yes, sir.
So as we put Mary, Allah be pleased with her, in Grand Ole Paradise, in a lawful place, you know, we understand that this is where we should put all women. This is where we should respect all women, you know, and give them the same respect that we would give to Mary. And just let people know that Muslims just don't treat women any kind of way just because of what's out here on TV. So we'll continue on.
Yes, sir.
That was on my mind, to continue to thank them for sharing the love. Help with me.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Praise be to God. Okay, well, we're going to come back and get further into the conversation. We're going to encourage our listeners at that time to join with us. But at this time, with our reading done of the Quran, Sadiq Allah al-Azim, Allah has spoken my truth. We always say that upon completing reading the Quran. At this time here, we're going to go to our brother Wally Kareem in Chicago, working hard on the program with the Leadership Legacy Group. Brother Wally Kareem, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullah, and my brother.
You've been fine,
can
sir.
You hear me?
Yourself?
Excellent.
Yes, sir. He's loud and clear.
Praise due to Allah. Yes, I was just listening to that profound wisdom that you expounded in the Holy Quran, and it's very beautiful the way you laid it out, and the brother that's also sharing it with you. I would just like
to
express our thanks to you for giving us the privilege to invite the public community of the Muslims as well as non-Muslims who are interested in advocating the progressive leadership legacy of our blessings that Allah has given us in the personage of the Imam Warifni Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alayhi, and his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We cannot take these two blessings for granted. We have to show our appreciation and our dedication to the cause in which we were brought into the life, given teachings of Al-Islam proper. And it's up to us and it's our obligation to carry it further into the world of non-believers and to invite them. And it's up to Allah to make Muslims as we know. We will only be the recipients of those that want to come if Allah decides for them to come. So we're going to do our part as long as Allah bless us to carry this out. And that's what we are obligated to do as Muslims. Being one of the Imam's duty team over the 35 years of his mission, we decided after he made his transition that he always emphasized that we should express Al-Islam in the most intelligent way. And we want to continue this deen as citrus the best we can, and we want to study hard and to carry this out. And we are now going to have our 8th annual event in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, inshallah, this coming Saturday and Sunday. And we hope that you, yourself, and those believers in Indianapolis and various other places in the surrounding area will come to participate with us. And
I'm just preparing to be there.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. And would you please, when you get a chance, I'm gonna go back to my meeting. I was in a meeting, so I'm gonna go back. But we're trying to finalize some things. So I appreciate all you've done for us, brother Imam. And we pray a lot.
Well, just tell us real quick. Yeah, before you go, just give us again the time, the date, and I understand there's a banquet. There may be a call for the banquet. Why don't you give us a little bit more detail and also a number for the people to call if they wanted to reach you.
Yes, sir. Just one second. Just 1 minute.
You sound like looking busy planning for next week.
Yeah, just 1 minute, bro.
Okay, yeah, well, okay. Because
there
is a very important event next week in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and looking forward to being there myself.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, brother.
You got the flyer? Okay.
Yes, sir. I have
yes, sir.
I have to get it out of my case.
Okay.
Very shortly. The Progressive Leadership
yes,
Legacy Association presents its 8th annual tribute banquet for Imam Warith Dean Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, hosted by the W. Dean Muhammad Islamic Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The host is Brother Imam Salim Alameen. Saturday and Sunday, October 22nd and 23rd, 2016. The address is 4200 North Holden Street, Holton Street. That's H-O-L-T-O-N, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Doors open at 11. Event donation, $40. Table of 10, $400. Hotel accommodations at the Radisson in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 7065 North Fork Washington Road. It's in Milwaukee. A suburb of Milwaukee.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you the phone number
okay.
to the hotel. It's 414-351-6960. And just give them the name.
Okay.
W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center. You get a rate of $79 per night.
Yes, sir. Then is your phone number for yourself?
Yes, sir. His phone number for myself is area code 773-206-6616. Either you can call 773-946-7264. That's Secretary Zakir Sadiq. And my name is Wali Kareem.
Yes, sir.
You can call either one of those numbers and you can get more further information. So we appreciate all of those
yes,
who attend and pass the word. We thank you very much, and may Allah continue to bless you with success.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for that information, and we're looking
thank
forward
you.
To coming and supporting. I do want to ask one question now. The proceeds from the event, do they go to a particular cause or a particular
yes, sir. The proceeds for the event goes to the cause of exercising the dawah. We plan on exhibiting the dawah team here in Chicago. We're going to buy a bus. That's our plan, buy a bus, and we're going to do a mobile dawah team throughout Chicago. And also we plan on starting a food pantry in Chicago to feed the hungry. So these are some of the things that our leader had established with the CPC when we were distributing food when he was first came in office. As you recall, the CPC began the food pantry distribution. We got to resume that operation here in Chicago, inshallah. You still there, Brother Imam? Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's speaking.
Okay.
Maybe
yeah.
His phone dropped from me. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm back. Yeah. I want to thank you for that information. And we're looking
yes, sir.
Forward
thank you.
To being there. And yes, sir. Okay.
So thank you so much.
Inshallah, I'll see you
I'm
next. Good. You're very welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam. Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. That is a very good program. What they're doing. He mentioned the word dawah. I guess for those who may not know. Now that's the effort to continue to teach and to propagate the teachings to everyone. So we want to give them our support however that we can. Let's get into our conversation. And we do highly encourage our listeners if they have any questions or comments to make along the way. You're more than welcome. We will work you into the conversation. But I want to begin reading a couple of thoughts, if I may, Brother Mustafa. I think it may help us get started. You know, in Imam W.D. Muhammad's last major Juma, as you recall, in Detroit in September of 2008, at the National Muslim Convention. During the Juma talk, the Friday service, the main Islamic service on Friday, during that talk, Imam Muhammad put a lot of emphasis on the phrase being Christ-like. And that's why it may sound a little bit unusual. So, you know, why would a Muslim imam of a large community, nationwide, really international community, why would he on the Muslim's main day stress, you know, being Christ-like? He even cited Dr. King, and his work was following the Christ essence. And so, and that right there is very important for us to think about, in particular those of us who are students and followers of Imam Muhammad, as to why would Imam Muhammad use those phrases. And in my own mind, this is just Michael Sahir thinking out loud, it happened at the last major Juma. And so Imam Muhammad didn't plan for that to be his last major Juma. Allah did. And so it just kind of lingers in my mind, you know, why was that so? You know, why was that emphasis put on that topic during the last Juma? Also, another comment I want to make is, as we speak of Christ or being Christ-like, etc., I'm going to encourage everybody to the best of their ability to remove from your mind, remove from your thinking, the old understandings, I say it that way, that burden our minds. And what I'm saying, that I'd be quite emphatic, remove from our minds that physical picture that we have been given of Christ Jesus. I'm saying remove from our mind the Caucasian image that's been given to our mind. Why do I say that? Because the Caucasian image leads to racism. So let's remove that white image. And if you have taken and went and bought a black one, get that one out too. Get rid of all the racial images that we have been given. And we were told that was Christ. Get that out your mind. Also get from your mind the image of a male. Because having that image presented as a male, Brother Mustafa, and to our listeners, that promotes sexism. Good. That gives the male gender a artificial feeling of I'm nearer to God than females. So we remove the Caucasian image or the white image, or maybe a black image. Get that out your mind. That will block you from seeing Christ. Get rid of the male image that promotes sexism, that will prevent you from seeing Christ. Also, get out of your mind the idea of Christ as Jewish. That leads to nationalism. As if one nation has an advantage, undue advantage over another. And I add this in too, that when you look at the last sermon, as it's called, of Prophet Muhammad, upon him be peace, that he gave on Mount Arafat on a Friday. And he dealt with racism, sexism, nationalism. And so the way that the world has been presented, the image of Christ Jesus, goes against what the prophet was trying to get rid of. These images have given to us promote the wrongs of racism, the wrongs of sexism, and the wrongs of nationalism. That is not, that is an image given that divides us along those lines of race, gender, and nation. It shows favoritism that's undue to any human being. If we get those physical descriptions of Jesus Christ out of our mind, and really Christians, Brother Mustafa, she had no problem with that. For those who accept this verse in the New Testament, I think they, Paul, so Paul said there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. For those who are taking notes, it's in Galatians 3:28. So we still have the same concept right there. Right there in the Bible, it's saying the same thing, that that image that came way later, I did not take the time to research when the image came, how it came. We heard the story of Michelangelo painting his uncle or somebody, but whenever it came, however it came, it perpetuates divisions amongst humanity, and the truth be told, it perpetuates divisions within our own psyche, within our own mind.
You know what I call it, brother, now.
What do you call it?
I call it, that's when they created the Antichrist, when they created the image, when they created the male, and when they created the nationalism, saying he was a Jew. All that is Antichrist. That's going against what Christ really represents.
That's the point. Yes. Because it is not the right picture. So, if we realize that Almighty God, he calls the human family to a unity based on our commonalities. What do we have in common? And where we differ at, let us let our law settle that part. I think it's been a big problem for the human family. We trying to solve where we differ at, but the Quran tells us, it says, come together on common terms.
And we come together, brother, man, the common term, we come together and we all bleed red blood. And what do blood represent?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
The spiritual life, the life. Blood represents the life.
Yes.
So we all should be
Coming
in that spiritual. Yeah, we should all should be coming in that spiritual life.
Yes. Yes. If I recall, Imam Muhammad said the blood was the social life. The water was the spiritual life.
Okay.
The social life. Because it makes sense. Social. The Christian society has a social life. The Muslim society has a social life. The Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, whoever, we all have a social life. So that blood is saying come together where we have common in our social life. What do we agree on?
If you need some blood, you ain't gonna worry about if that's gonna come from a Jew, a black person, or Caucasian person. If you need some blood, you gonna tell the doctor, hold on, check and see where that red blood came from. You know.
Yes, sir.
We share
commonality.
We share that.
Yes, we do. Yes. Yeah, so let us do as Allah says. If we come together. Allah calls the human family to a unity based on commonalities. And Allah says that he will settle all of our differences. Says all concerns, all matters go back to him for a final decision. So I'm going to share another experience that we had, and I was blessed to be in the presence. This was October 1999. Imam Muhammad had been invited to the folkloric community, working with the And the folklore community is a very beautiful Christian community. By and large, it's Catholic based, but it extends further than the Catholics. And so we were there with Imam Muhammad. He had been invited by Pope John Paul to be one of the speakers at this assembly. I think it was the Millennium Jubilee. And there were about 200 world leaders there at this main event, and he was one of five speakers. But earlier in that day, when we were on tour, we were touring the Vatican, and we were walking around. And on the inside, they have some paintings, you know, throughout the entire building pretty much. And I think some of us in the group, we were like making comments about all these images because, you know, in Islam, you know, we don't have images. And Imam Muhammad, he gave us a nice lesson full of wisdom. He said that we should not be making those comments about those images. And he said, look at the images, the paintings on the lower level, the ground level. Because the wall went up, I would say, I don't know, maybe 30, 35 feet. I'm not sure. Very tall wall. He said, the people back in those days could not read. So they painted pictures. The lower level, you see they were fighting. They were at war. They were in a very bad way. Then you go up about 10 more feet to the second level, and you saw a very civilized society. The people were being productive, being creative, building their society. And then he said, now look at the higher level. And he showed them in a paradise, in the Garden of Eden. And he was saying, since the people could not read, they would use this picture language to show that how the human being can evolve from an animal state to a rational state to a heavenly state. And it really sobered us up real quick. You know, Imam Muhammad, he had that ability very strongly and well fine-tuned to look at a picture or hear a conversation or read a verse in the Bible or the Quran and to extract from it wisdom. So what did he do in the case of the Muslims? He took that picture that they had, and he gave us a commonality, once again, building upon that concept, come together on common terms. He gave us a commonality with those paintings right there in the Vatican in Rome. And it was really beautiful. I don't know if my words are really really expressing that beauty that we felt that day. But it was very beautiful to have that connection. So that is the spirit that I would like for us to begin this conversation. And we want to encourage our listeners at this time, if you want to press 1 on your phone, you can. And if you have a question or comment on anything said so far, or you want to add a comment, you can feel free to press 1 on your phone. And for those who may be listening by the computer, the number to call is 714-816-4673. I'll say it again, 714-816-4673. And after you call in, then you can press 1 on your phone. And we will take your question or your comment. Even if your comment is in agreement or not, we have no problem with having that conversation with you. Praise be to Allah. So, you know, Brother Mustafa, we look in the Quran. Allah gives us specific descriptions for Jesus, the Son of Mary. Mm-hmm. He's called the Ruh, also spelled R-U-H, Ruh, which means the spirit. He's also called Kalimatan, which is an Arabic word that means the Word. And we know that's very common in the Bible. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word took on flesh and dwelt among men. And so we have that same concept in the Bible as we have in the Quran, that as Jesus being the Word of God. Also, Jesus in the Quran is called the Son of Mary, Ibn Maryam, the Son of Mary. He's also called twice, El Masih, El Masih, the twice. And also, he's called a ayat, a sign of God. So when, if you're only going to try to see Jesus, the Christ, in physical terms, you're going to miss him. And while I'm saying that name is called Jesus, the Christ, and so often many people, they just say Jesus Christ, but it's really saying Jesus, the Christ. And the T-H-E is not his middle name. It is a distinguishing mark. They're saying that Jesus, the name of the person, and Christ is the name, that's his title, that's his achievement. So Jesus, the Christ. You know, I had a problem with my plumber. You know who I called? I called Joe the plumber. When I had trouble with my electricity, I called Bill the electrician. So the question has to be asked, what do they mean when they say Jesus, the Christ? Now, later on, the Bible says they're Christ many. So we have to make a distinction. Jesus is seen as a person, but Christ is seen as the title or the achievement, the honorable title. And in the Quran, he's also called Jesus, the Christ. Messiah, the Christ. So, go ahead.
Yeah, for us as Brother Man, growing up and most of our parents growing up as Christians, the impression that they put on our forefathers, our generation's mind, we couldn't separate Christ from God. We were taught that Christ Jesus was God, is God. And when he read that Bible verse where it said, in the Word, the Word is God. The Word was God. Jesus was the Word of God. Right? I think you just read the Bible verse. You just read it. And the Word was God. We couldn't separate the two. We weren't taught to separate the two. We were taught that Jesus was God. You know, and Mary was the mother of God. You know, and for that being impressed on the brain from birth, from the time to understand language, this is what you were told. And it was so hard, and it's still hard today for people to separate. Because one brother said, well, while Jesus was in the world, God took on flesh. The Word took on flesh, as they taught us in the Bible. The Word took on flesh, and Jesus was the Word. So Jesus represented God while he was walking on the earth. But God was still God in heaven, but he was walking on the earth. And it's so hard for so many people to separate that, to struggle with that. And that's a big challenge for them. And I understand being pressed in your brain from childhood, that that was done to me. But as I came into Islam, the more I said, the easier it was to separate the two and come to an understanding that God is the creator. He's not the creator. And you know, sometimes it's impossible. You just have to sit long and listen. Think, give them a little bit. But if Jesus said in the Bible, and you know all things, don't you know when the day of resurrection? He didn't even know when the day of the only that is with God, the only that is with the Father. So that and a lot of other signs in the Bible show us that by God. He was created by God, and he was sent to man, you know, how to worship God, but he's missed so much by not studying, you know, as a young child, and studying the word for yourself. So it's a challenge, and I can say as a challenge to so many people to separate them. And we thank him. And I
yes, sir.
Him. Thank you, man, Muhammad, for helping us.
That's right. Yes, that, as she was speaking, it reminds me of the verse that we read on Friday, and again from the Bible, they quote Jesus as saying these words, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And that came to my mind as you were speaking, that we had that challenge, and there's still a challenge in many people's minds. How do you differentiate, separate? Is Jesus God and one the same, or is he less than God? And this has been an argument within, even within the Christian church, going back to the time before the Council of Nice with Constantine in the year 325. So this is not a new argument. But to your point, as we were taught, then it became a big problem for us because we had a hard time differentiating between the two. Is Jesus God or not? Is he the Son of God only, or is he God? Is he poor God, etc.? So I think as we get more into our conversations, if we can hear, I have some quote from Imam Muhammad I'm going to read, and maybe some more clarity may come along that line, because that is still a big issue in the minds of a lot of people. How can Jesus be God when he needed help? That's a big question in a lot of people's minds. Yes, sir. So
yes.
I want to get to, so we know that Imam Muhammad, he explained that Christ, Jesus Christ, his mother, is a sign. And he said, a sign of what? He said, Jesus Christ and his mother is a sign of the community life established by Prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon the prophets. He further explained that Jesus Christ is a type, T-Y-P-E, representing a level of development of the human family. So if we're going to limit the conversation, then we're not to see Jesus as a flesh and blood man only, then we would not be able to advance the conversation. You know, over the centuries, you know, that we know that there have been a lot of shrouding, a lot of mystery placed on the conversation. But we get to say, Imam W.T. Muhammad, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he came and removed that veil. That veil. So let's again, as we get more into the conversation, they say the death. We'll think about the death, resurrection, and return to Christ Jesus. But it was not that of a physical man. This is a story, we may say a roadmap of human development according to the will and plan of God. So on this idea of crucifixion and death, we have to first recognize what the Holy Quran says. And the Holy Quran says, they killed him not, said that Allah raised him up, and it proceeded to them, they killed Christ Jesus. But you can't kill Christ Jesus. We hear those descriptions before. He's a spirit. He's a word. Jesus Christ, it's a sign. There's no man ever born or lived or ever will be born that can destroy the Word of God.
No way.
Because in the Bible and in the Quran, she calls the Word of God. How can you destroy the Word of God? Impossible. Totally impossible. How can you destroy a sign of God or the Spirit of God? Totally impossible. But we know the concept is out there that Jesus died. And it says that he gave up the ghost, but gave up the spirit. So this is what Imam Muhammad said here. He says, in the Bible verse when it says Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Imam Muhammad's commentary says, Jesus symbolic of the spirit and the word of God. Imam Muhammad says, you can have nothing to feed on in the world, and the world can reject it and reason it to be of no account, no use at all. It is gone. It's dead. But as long as you hold to the discipline that God created for you, you will rise again. If that word stays in you, you will rise again. They say he gave up his spirit, but he didn't give up the word. Jesus, he gave up the spirit, but not the word. The word is like the seed. When it finds the right environment, come back. Come back around. Adam met a word from his God, and it says he came back to life. We never can destroy the will of God, can't take it out of God's creation, and we can never destroy the spirit. Though Jesus gave up the spirit, it will come back again as long as we stay rightly inclined, remain rightly inclined. So this concept is given, he gave up the ghost, and they interpret that as saying that he had died. That was the spirit that he gave up. Imam Muhammad said, it was not the word. He kept the word. And the word of God will bring us back to life. You can't kill the word of God. The only killing, Brother Mustafa, that took place was in the minds of the people. It was in the minds of the people. The people died to the word. The word didn't go anywhere. The word stays. But when we were misled, when humanity was misled, misguided, that was the death. It was the death of the people, not the death of the word of God. You can't kill the word of God. Nor can man bring into being the word of God. That's why we have this beautiful picture. It's in the Quran and in the Bible, that when Jesus the Word came, he came by way of the Virgin Mary. That is saying that you can't bring it into existence, man, with all your thinking, all your intellect, all your so-called power and possessions. You don't have the ability to bring the Word of God in, so God brought it in through the Virgin. And you don't have the ability to take the word of God out. If that was done so, it would show God as being inferior to man. And God is nowhere near being inferior to man.
Nowhere.
So the crucifixion, yes, sir, the crucifixion, if any place, it was in the intellects, in the hearts and minds of human beings who lost faith. But if they hold to be rightly inclined, when they meet again a word from their Lord, they will be resurrected. They come back alive to the word of God. Now, this is I'm putting some of this in my own words, because that's just the way I have to do it. But even
you're doing it so beautiful, though, brother, man. You're doing it so beautiful, though, you know.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, well, praise be to God. But we have to see Christ Jesus, in particular the attribute of Christ, outside of physical descriptions. We have to, otherwise we would not see the picture. We would not make the connections. And we will always have, as you said in the beginning, that as long as we have Caucasian flesh or even black flesh or a male image or a Jewish national picture as being the embodiment, as they say, of as being the Word of God of God, we will always have issues with racism, sexism, and nationalism. And we in the day and age now to where those things are dying out. They're not dead yet, but they're dying out. And I hope that this show helps put one more stake in that Dracula.
Yes, sir.
You know? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, so, okay, well, we're still waiting for our callers. If they want to press one and make a comment, ask a question, we do our best. Okay.
So, Brother Imam.
Yes,
so the return of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
The return of the Word. If we look at Jesus Christ as being the Word of God, the return of the Word, will we be safe to say that when the Quran came to the Prophet Muhammad, that the Word of God was revived into man?
Yes, sir. Definitely. Yeah, when the Quran came, there was the return of Christ. Jesus said, I'm using Bible language here, I'm the light of the world as long as I'm in the world. And when you look at the picture or the images given to us, when we read that, they paint the picture that when he gave up the ghost, that it became dark. They said, it became dark outside. And it goes back to that reading we just made. I'm the light of the world as long as I'm in the world. So it didn't mean that the sun set, the physical sun we see every day. It didn't mean that sun set. What it meant was the sun of enlightenment and the intellects of the people. When Jesus has a body of knowledge, the Word has a body of knowledge, when that was taken out of the society, then the people died. Because he said, I'm the light of the world as long as I'm in the world. So they give us pictures, they give us paintings, and no offense to anybody, but they are quite elementary type pictures. But it still contains the wisdom. They show us pictures of the man with a halo around his head. The halo around the head is light, and they show light coming out of the heavens down upon the image that they have put before us. All this is just saying the same thing, light. But it's not light from science, the physical sciences. This is the enlightenment from the Word of God. And Jesus is quoted, Jesus is knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding. A lot of times we have knowledge, but we don't have understanding. And so the understanding will enlighten. The understanding will enlighten. So that's, and what were we being enlightened by? The Word. Jesus,
the Word,
again, one of his major attributes is the Word. So when it says, I'm the light of the world, as long as I'm in the world, it's saying as long as we have the knowledge that Christ Jesus was sent to give us, then we are in the light. And nowhere in the Bible or the Quran where you can find where Jesus sent himself, or Christ, or the Holy Ghost sent themselves. They were never ones to disobey their Creator. God is their Creator. God created Jesus. God created Christ, God created the Holy Spirit, God created Mary, God created you and I, And we had to understand that we had to be as Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit was, as Prophet Muhammad was, as Moses and all of them were. We cannot sin ourselves. We have to wait on the command of our Lord.
So when the Christian tells the Muslim, you're not being Christ-like, we are being Christ-like. We're obedient to God. Christ was obedient to God. So Muslims are more Christ-like than they are, because we being obedient to God, we recognize that God as one, right?
Very much so. You know, Muhammad said this. He said the term Christ-like is the same as the term Muslim. They mean the same identical thing. Because Christ-like, or the Christ nature, was to obey.
Yes,
to submit, to be obedient. If I did not just describe you to you the same meaning for the term Muslim, yes, I did. So when they say Christ-like, be you Christ-like, Imam Muhammad in his last Juma, Detroit, 2008, at the convention, he told us more than once, he said, be Christ-like. So not only was he building a bond with the Christians of the world, he was also showing us the connection that being Christ-like, the Christ nature, the Christ essence, is also the same as being Muslim, because
he
both committed completely, willingly, to do the will of God. Yes, sir.
He was giving us hikmah.
The what?
The hikmah. I said he was using his wisdom. Giving us the wisdom.
The wisdom. Okay, yeah.
Yes,
we got to talk to our people.
Make that connection.
Yes, sir. I'm just having a little fun with you. You say hikmah.
Yes, sir.
We can talk to our people. The wisdom. The word hikmah is an Arabic word that means the wisdom. And Imam Muhammad was blessed by Almighty God, Allah, to give us understanding. And hopefully, inshallah, God willing, the understanding will bring us into the wisdom. You know, and we can get there. All of us, Muslim, Christian, Jews, we all can get there. All we got to do is keep our hearts sincere.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Imam Muhammad made a comment on the resurrection. The resurrection. Quote, the resurrection of Jesus. It means the resurrection of the truth that Jesus taught. I'm going to read that one more time. The resurrection of Jesus. It means the resurrection of the truth that Jesus taught. It is not necessary to bring the man back in physical form. All we need to do is bring back what he taught. It wasn't the physical man that brought about miracles in the land. It was what he taught. God is not going to produce something that will go contrary to his natural way. He has always brought people back to the right path with truth, not with unnatural happenings, quote unquote, like miracles. When he awakens the minds of good people to truth, these people carry the truth to people who are in mental darkness. Those who are in mental darkness respond to the truth when they hear it, if they have any goodness in them. This is the natural way of correcting the world. So the resurrection is in the teaching. It's in the words. And when they hit that, the people with good hearts, that's the resurrection. That's the standing up again. You know, they say erection. You know, it means to stand upright. You know, and they said that we Homo sapiens said we stand upright, erect, straight. And so when we fall down from that noble, honorable position that God gave us, when we lose that, all we need is the word. And that's why they call Jesus the Word. And the return of the word. Imam Muhammad says this. He says, Muhammad, is the return, the second Christ.
Allah.
He says, the Bible says, every eye will see him. Not God, his word, his revelation. When it says every eye should see him, we're thinking that we're going to see God. And the Quran plain said we don't have the ability, the capacity to see the word of God. Said Moses asked that question, right? Moses, he wanted to see God. This is from the Quran, right? Moses said,
yes, sir.
You know, Moses was a personification of his people. He was kind of hard-headed, too. Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know, I want to see you. And God said, what? You know, and through the mercy and the educational form of mercy, education is a form of mercy. So through education, Allah showed Moses mercy. And he didn't condemn him to hell for asking to see him, for Moses asking God to, you know, let me see. God through his mercy gave him education. He said, Moses, see that mountain over there? Yes, sir. See the mountain. He said, if the mountain remains standing, you can see me. And the next thing Moses knew that he was dusting himself off, getting up off the ground.
Yes,
because the mountain fell, Moses fell too. And so Imam Muhammad, he gave us some understanding on that. See, the mountain is symbolic of the higher intellect. Dr. King said, I've been to the mountaintop. In other words, he's saying that he had reached in his thinking a higher thinking of how the government order works. And so sometimes, you know, we think we can get so big and advanced in our thinking that, we can now see God. And so Moses, he had advanced to that point. Allah says, if the mountain remains standing, Moses, you can see me. And that's why Moses fell when the mountain fell, because Moses was the mountain in his thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an old
story.
He
ain't asked no more, though.
In the Old Testament. Huh?
I said he ain't asked no more after that time.
He didn't ask any more because he said a minute ago, education is a form of mercy.
Yes.
And Moses got the message that we will go crazy. I said it that way. We will lose our mind, go crazy, thinking we're going to see God in the physical way. So getting back to what Imam Muhammad was saying here, he said the Bible says every eye should see him. He said it is not Allah, but it is his word. We will see his word, see his revelation. His revelation is what is growing man. It is the real life of man. It is the real life of man. Duration, God's duration, his inspiration and his communication is really the real life of man. That's why Aisha, the wife of the prophet, she said of her husband, Muhammad the prophet, he is the Quran living among us, the word of God living among us. What is she saying? That he is the second coming of Christ. The word has again appeared among men. That's exactly what she's saying. He is the word of God manifest and living among us. Aisha had the insight that Jesus being the word of God, it came back through Muhammad. And Prophet Muhammad taught that he said, I and Christ Jesus will be together as one. And we're living in that day. If I may go back just for a minute, we have a beautiful relationship with the folklore community. And it's an ongoing relationship as well. And we have had some conversations from our leaders, Imam Muhammad and Kira Lubick, to where you saw Christ Jesus and Muhammad coming together as one in their conversations. You say, yeah, but she remained a Catholic, or she remained a Christian. If you listen to the beautiful teachings of Kira Lubick and keep the rational mind that Imam Muhammad gave us, you will begin to see, I do believe, I know I did, you will begin to see that she's talking on a higher level. And I hope I don't cause anyone any embarrassment, but many have concluded she's talking on a higher level than many of the cardinals and the priests. And they have learned to look at her teachings and study her teachings, because the wisdom that she gives. So you say, well, she's using the same message, the same words, but that's what she has. So when you listen to the message with inside of her message, she had done a wonderful job. And even though she passed 8 years ago, her teachings are still around, and they are still teaching millions around the world. And many of them are the priests and the cardinals. And I may even venture to say she often has touched the Pope. When you take and get the Word of God and not see it in physical flesh and not see it in nationalistic or gender value for parameters, then you will get the return of Christ. So what the Imam Muhammad was saying here, that when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon the Prophet, when he came in touch and embodied himself and bathed himself and became one with the Word of God, that was the return of Christ. And then I know that there are some Muslims still waiting today who have physicalized this conversation. And they are still waiting for the return of Jesus to come back. And the return of Jesus came back with the Holy Quran and in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Yes, sir. Okay. So we have a number of people, Brother Lucifer, who have called in. So I don't know, should we interpret that as that we're doing a good job or not? But we would love to have you to press 1 on your phone. And if you have a question, comment, even a disagreement, that would be welcome as well. Imam Muhammad has taught. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And the Quran also says that Christ Jesus, peace be upon him, and his mother, he'll be asked, if he tells the people to worship you, that his mother in him will be asking questions on the day of resurrection. So it's just amazing how clear the Quran, you know, makes things, brothers, ma'am. It makes it clear. It makes it clear for us, because Christ would say, never did I say these things, for if I did, you would have known it. You know, his mother also would deny, because we find some Mexican communities that pray to Mary, the mother of Christ Jesus, as though she is God or the mother of God. And I always was asking my mama growing up, well, mama, you said Jesus is God. But then I said, God didn't have a mother, but they said Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ. So Jesus can't be God if God never had a mother. Yeah, something is going between that. And I just appreciate how Allah makes that clear in the Quran, that he's not the mother of God, but she's the mother of Jesus Christ. So that's a conversation in itself, too.
Yes, it is. But we go back to what we said from the beginning, and I don't think I can reiterate this enough, that we have to remove from our thinking, from our mind, the old burden understanding, or the understanding that burdens our mind and really oppress our soul. When we are taught to see Christ Jesus in the image of a race, of a white man, or a Jewish man, or just a man, period, not only does it cause a division in the human family among racial, gender, and nationalistic lines, it also causes a division within our thinking that will bring you to the point where you have to ask your mother, say, if God, the God of the Creator, has always been here, how can he have a mother?
Mm.
And that's a good, logical question. I mean, we have to take these pictures and realize that's what they are. They are pictures. They are signs. They are not the real thing. No more than, as you said, you're going down the highway and the sign says Chicago, 75 miles. You do not pull over at that sign and say, I made it to Chicago.
Yes.
You read the sign. You read the sign. You interpret it for what its message is delivering and obey the sign. So Christ Jesus said, going back again, it is expedient that I go away. He said, if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But how be it when he comes? And who is this comforter? And it's already been done by very many scholars, Muslims and non-Muslims. They have concluded, and they can show through the word Paraclete and Parakletos. I'm not a Greek major, but this is what they have in their books. That is pointing forward, I should say, to Muhammad as being the comforter. So we look at the conclusion, the Bible conclusion of Christ Jesus. One of the pictures that it gives us, it gives us the story of the Last Supper. And in this Last Supper, he feeds the disciples. So what is he feeding them? And they give us this story. It's not very much food there, is it? They said there was some unleavened bread and wine. And they call that the Last Supper. And Imam Muhammad, again, using his insights, he said the unleavened bread is symbolic of the Word of God. What form of the Word of God? Unleavened means it is rational knowledge. The bread of life referred to here is saying rational knowledge. It does not have yeast in it. Unleavened bread does not have yeast. Now, when you add yeast to bread, it inflates it with air pockets. It inflates hot air. And sometimes some of our friends that we talk to, they got a lot of hot air in their conversation, just like your bread does. But if they give it to you straight without a bunch of addition, then that is like the unleavened bread. It does not have the yeast in it. They have not inflated the conversation. So Jesus giving them unleavened bread, he was giving them straight, rational, logical understandings of the Word of God. Eat this in remembrance of me. Why do you got to say remember? You don't remember food. You remember words, concepts.
Wow.
Because it's not talking about physical bread. It is the bread, the life spoken of here, is the logical, rational teachings of the Word of God that Jesus gave them to eat this in remembrance of me until I return. Don't look for that white man to return, that Jewish guy, that male to return. The return is not of a physical man. The return is of the Word of God. And the first form, it says, we just described, of the rational logic. The other item for this Last Supper that's given is wine. And they say in the Bible language that the bread is symbolic of his body, his flesh, and that the wine is symbolic of his blood. And going back to what you said before, blood does, in this case, have that connection with being the spiritual life. But that's why they use the word wine. Because, you know, people, that they would drink wine to get into a certain mood, a certain feeling. So the wine is speaking about the word of God that has that ability to move you spiritually. Because as human beings, we are rational, but we are spiritual. So Jesus, in his Last Supper, as this picture is painted, is presenting to the world two forms or two expressions of the word of God. One is rational, that's the bread. That's the flesh, as they give it to us. The wine, they say, represents the blood. But that's speaking about the spiritual life. So Jesus says, eat this, drink this in remembrance of me. Me who? Me what? Me the word.
Body of words.
Body of words. Body of knowledge. Eat this and drink this until I return. So when did he return? He returned with Muhammad when Muhammad the prophet was in the cave, Mount Hira, and received the first revelation when the words came back. And it comes back with the best words, Ikra, which means to read. Right? We say in Arabic, Ikra bismillahirrahmanirrahim, right? That, when that word came back, that was not Muhammad's words. Those were not Muhammad's words.
No.
It was the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That was Jesus returning. The word of God came back. So now it has to connect even further. And then Muhammad gave us the connections. Jesus gave supper. What time of the day do you serve supper? You don't serve it in the morning. You serve it at night. Before going to bed. He knew that the darkness was going to come. That's why they say supper. They didn't say lunch, brunch, breakfast. The last breakfast. No. It's called the Last Supper, the meal you eat before closing your eyes. Which eye? Your mental eye. He knew that he was the light of the world, as long as he was in the world, and he knew that his time was up for being the light of the world in that dispensation of time. So to help them out in the darkness, he gave them the unleavened bread and the wine. Better said, he gave them rational knowledge, understanding, and spiritual knowledge, understanding of the word of God, because they were getting ready to go into an era or a period of darkness. But just hold on to these two until I return. So let's fast forward now to the year 610 A.D. in Mecca with Prophet Muhammad, and you will see the return of Christ. When Prophet Muhammad, he has what we call in Arabic suhoor, which is the morning meal. So that makes sense. If Jesus goes out, leaving the evening meal, and the world goes to sleep, as we do every night, in the morning, we have to eat breakfast. I didn't say breakfast. I said breakfast. You know, a lot of people say, I don't know how y'all Muslims fast. Y'all be fasting all them hours. I can't do it. But they do it every night when they go to bed.
Yes, sir.
Now we see why they call it the morning meal breakfast. But they can put it all together and say breakfast. And so Prophet Muhammad, he came. He was blessed to come by Allah with the word to fast and to be fed again. And he fed the Suhoor meal. And as Muslims, we rehearse that every year during Ramadan. Or if you fast on a year, you may do it more often, but definitely as a community, a universal community, we rehearse that for 30 days, mornings, during Ramadan. We wake up in the darkest hour. Isn't that when the word of God comes, when mankind is most in need of light in the darkest hour?
Yes, yes sir.
He sent his word. He sent his word. And then the word, again, is who? From the Bible's definition and the Quran definition, the word of God is who? Come on, Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
That's the
yes,
return
sir.
Of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Five verses of the Quran, right? It could have been spelled because I didn't color. It goes on. So why are Muslims waiting for the return of Christ when they have the word of God, which is Christ, the spirit of God, called Christ, right there in the Quran?
Yes, sir.
Why are Muslims saying that Muhammad is the last prophet, but still waiting on the prophet to come, who already hasn't been here? There's no logic in that.
Yes, sir.
So, alhamdulillah. I would love for someone to respond to their phone so I could take me a break. I'm really enjoying this.
Imam, you paint the picture so clear, brother Imam, to you. You can't, you know, you had to sit here and just, you paint the picture so clear till you almost could see it sitting right in front of you. You know, like a picture or something. Huh?
But, you know, but it is in front of you. It's called your forehead.
Yes.
And the forehead,
yes,
and the forehead, it sticks out. The forehead sticks out in front. But
yes, sir.
I got to get credit where credit is due.
Yes, sir.
Because I did not come up with none of this. Allah bless Imam W.D. Muhammad to be a student of Prophet Muhammad, and a student of all the prophets, but mainly to Muhammad the Prophet. And it was Allah blessed upon Imam W.D. Muhammad that we have this understanding.
And there's so much more. It's good to let our Christian friends know that when we recognize the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, we recognizing all the prophets. You know, we're not leaving or making no distinction between none of the prophets because they all came with the same message. You know, to submit and do God's will. So we're not saying, you know, trying to belittle Christ Jesus in no kind of way. We just said that he came with the same message, the same word of God. And with the Prophet Muhammad, it just made things clear to come and correct some of those things that man tried to change, to put those things in order, you know, and make them clear for the human family to be able to understand and accept. So it's a beautiful lesson this morning, Brother Mel. It's a beautiful teaching and beautiful, you know, tafsir of the Imam Muhammad that you're giving us this morning. It's beautiful.
Yes,
it's clear to me.
You know, and even though I know that you didn't mean to say morning, it's morning because the light is dawning. Light is dawning on us right now. We got a caller right here. I know this number here. This is Brother Imam Muhammad Sadiq. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Imam. Enjoying the program. And I was just thinking when you were talking about the break fast, and then Imam did say, so when or if you decide to put it together, you know, so you say the you serve that Last Supper or the Isha, which is the Isha prayer. He said, and that also in the Arabic has reference to, you know, dying or the end of everything that's going to happen in that dispensation of time. He said, but then when they awaken, he said, who serves the breakfast? And I'm saying, like, the whole Islamic world is waiting for this Jesus to return and stand on top of a temple and take a sword and slay all the kill all the pigs and, you know, or something of that nature. And but Imam said Allah bless him to serve the breakfast. he said,
that's right.
He said the message that Allah inspired in him is the breakfast. In other words, the first meal we get after we go to sleep and we come out of this dark understanding and misunderstanding that we've been subject to underneath this Western world who wanted to keep us in the dark and keep the world in darkness. He said that the enlightenment comes when that breakfast is served. He said, and that breakfast is served by Imam W.D. Muhammad, Allahu Akbar.
That's right. I was listening to you,
and I had earlier opened up an email sent to me by my dear friend Virgil Boyd, you know, and he's telling me about there's a brother named Muhammad Shafiq. I forwarded it to you, who's coming to town, and he's going to be speaking, and everyone's excited. He's this Islamic scholar, and it's not to put him down. I'm sure he's a very capable person. And I think that'd be something worthy to go. They want to charge $32 to come if you want to eat with him, or $5 if you just want to sit and listen. And but I'm thinking, I said, they could save themselves $32 just tune this program in right now, you know, and really get a big meal. They would get a full meal served, and they would really be walking away from there very, very much satisfied. Without any wine and then unleavened bread, you know, but just the clarity of all of that, which is wrapped up in what has been done today. This has been an excellent program, and I congratulate you and Brother Mustafa for keeping it going, and it just inspires me. No matter how long you hear this, it's always enlightening and rewarding to hear it. And there's always something that you had overlooked or forgotten or settled way in the depth of your mind that needed to come back to the surface, and that's what this program did for me. So keep up the excellent work. May Allah continue to bless
you, sir.
Both of you, and I'm here in support of you. Allahu Akbar.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much.
Alaykum
as-salam, brother. Yeah, that was Imam Muhammad Sadiq here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Who had done a marvelous job, and we're trying to keep the train moving, as they say. So, and as you say, you know, the one to serve the breakfast, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and not trying to praise him or his name, because he was not like that, not whatsoever. But that is why we call this the title of the show, The Death, and I have death in quotation marks, the death, resurrection, and return of Jesus Christ according to Imam W.D. Muhammad. We have a caller here from the 804 area code. Thank you for calling Words Made People. Can you state your first name and your city, please, and make your comment and ask your question.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Farida from Richmond. It was very enjoyable. I was cooking and listening, but he gave the Imam Sadiq, he gave you a wonderful compliment, and everything he said, I have to agree to. You all have a beautiful program, and I might have to go back and listen to this again. I mean, this was so full of what the Last Supper was, and I heard a little bit, but you really put it out there. It's something that you should know. And Christians, like the brothers say, Christians should know. We should discuss this with them so they will know exactly what it means. It's beautiful. Have a wonderful day.
May
Allah continue to bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam.
Thank you, Mr. Frida. Thank you very much for those comments. We have another caller here from the 850 area. Can you give us your first name and ask your question or make your comment, please?
Assalamu alaikum. It's Sister Madeline.
Alaykum
as-salam. Brother Mikhail, the sister that just called, she was saying that the information that you're presenting is very clear, and that our brothers and sisters that are Christians need to know it. But it appears to me that our Muslim brothers and sisters need to understand it too, because they seem to
that's
get,
right.
They seem to get it confused when Imam Waris bin Muhammad is making things clear and more clear for a certain mentality that has grown up here in America. It seems they seem to misunderstand that there's no disrespect or no discount to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that these tafsir, these conversations, these enlightenments are connected to one another, and that they bring our understanding a completion. So could you speak to that, please, sir?
You mean the completion?
Well, a more complete understanding. Can you speak to the connectedness between the Sunnah, the way that the Prophet demonstrated the word, and Imam Waris bin Muhammad, and the way he gave understanding to the enlightenment of the same? I don't know. I think I'm making it. It might be making sense.
Yeah, yes, it does. When the key word that you said that registered in my mind was making the connections. And there are so many disconnects.
Yes.
There are so many. Some were created artificially by those who want to have dominion, a domination over the lives of people. And there was a lack of trust for a long time from the leadership to trust the common man and the common woman. They are still resisting giving us that trust to have the, well, they used the term before, divine spark. And they would say that women and Africans did not have that divine spark, meaning we did not have that God-given mind to be entrusted with the Word of God. So that was not limited, that distrust was not just limited to the Christian society. They also put that oppression, and it's still there to this day, on the Muslim society, to lock our minds in rituals only. But the rituals become dead and dry. There's no flesh on the bone of the ritual to give it life. It's just a dry bone. And also to keep us divided to where we cannot see the connection, to where, though the Quran is quite clear, Sister Madeline and our listeners, the Quran is quite clear. It speaks in glowing terms of the love and respect for people of the book, in particular the Christians. The Quran gives a very special connection to the Christians, not just the people, but also their houses of worship. But why is it that the Muslims are disconnected from what Allah is saying about the Christians and the Jews and their houses of worship right there in the Quran? And then again in the Quran it says, be you Muslim, Christian, Jew, Sabian, any who believe in God in the last day will get their reward. But the question comes back, why is it that some Muslims can't see that or won't see that? And it's because those in leadership, they want to lock our minds up with ritualism, drive rituals, and not allow us to see the truth. Allah removes that blessing from such people who want to lord over the Word of God. there's no human being of any race or gender or nationality that is to lord over, be the intercessor between a believing person and the Word of God. So they divide and they conquer. Our job here, which we're doing on this show and many other shows, conversations, for, well, I got to say it the way it is, Sister Melvin. For those who came through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and were blessed to advance in our mind, body, and soul to Imam W.D. Muhammad, it is our job to speak up and to speak out, to speak loud and to speak long on these understandings that Allah has blessed us to come into. Then we can begin with only with Allah's help to make the connections with our Christian friends, Muslim friends, our Jewish friends. And as the Quran says, come together on common terms. There are Muslims who are afraid. There are Muslims who are afraid to even look at the Bible, let alone talk about it.
Yeah,
they are afraid. Okay? So, Sister Melvin, I don't know, did I answer your question or did I over-answer your question? But I know we got a lot of work to do.
No, you answered the question. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, but Mustafa, you have anything that you want to share? We're coming down to our last 20 minutes here.
No, sir, brother, man. The show is going so good. I think we doing a beautiful job. Praise be to Allah. Beautiful job.
Praise be to Allah. Because we say this just as another reminder. This is not to take away from what people of the book, meaning the Christians or the Jews, believe. But I'm convinced that if we sit down and have these kind of conversations with our Christian friends, Jewish friends, whoever, we listen to them, they listen to us, that I'm convinced that they will get a message from us that can be appreciated. And I'm sure that we will get things from them that could be appreciated as well. But we're living in a day and time of to where, due to communications, we got faster plans and got faster means of communication, that it is time for us to have these kind of conversations and to come out of being small in our thinking and to be sectarian in our thinking.
Yes, so sir. even that fear that some people have, Brother Emmanuel, they have a fear about the unknown or getting to know things that, you know, their pastor, their preacher haven't shared with them. You know, a lot of people still live in that fear to give up believing that Christ Jesus, peace be upon him, died and rose for their sins. You know, they still have those challenges. Like you said, we have to speak up, speak out, and speak clearly to their mind, to their intellect, you know, to share what we have and to share what's been shared with us. You know, like you said, we got a lot of work to do. And you shared with us Friday during Juma, you know, how many of us is going to go back and save, like, Harriet Tubman there? How many of us going to go back and try to save some of our family members, some of our friends, and share these conversations with them? You know,
sit
there and preach to them for 4 or 5 hours, but we have to go back and try to bring some of them to the point of understanding where Allah has blessed us to be able to understand.
Yes, sir. That's very true. We have to go back. And also, I'm just reflecting again over what Sister Madeline had just asked about. She used the word sunnah, and sunnah is an Arabic word which we use In English, it means the way or the way of. The way a thing has been done or how it was said, what was said, and how it was said. So there are those who follow the sunnah or the way of Muhammad the Prophet. And as I was reflecting, what came to my mind, we have another word which is closely associated with sunnah, and that is the word hadith, H-A-D-I-T-H. And the hadith and sunnah, though used interchangeably, there is a real stark distinction we should make between the two. And I think there may be some of the problems, Sister Mallory. I hear you on hold right now, but I want to relay it back to you. Is that the hadith means a report. And the Quran says that Allah gives the best hadith, the best report in the Quran. And Muslims over the years have had great men, wise men, to go out and collect their hadiths on what the Prophet said and done. And but we also strongly believe that there have been enemies of Islam who have went into the hadiths and put in the wrong teaching. Now, Allah says they cannot get into the Quran, so He will protect the Quran. But that same protection is not guaranteed to the hadith, these reports. Keep in mind the word hadith means report. And they are reporting the sunnah or the way that Muhammad lived. But those who had bad intents, wicked intents, they began to incorporate un-Islamic ideas and concepts and claim them to be authentic hadiths or authentic reports when, in fact, they were not. So we have a lot of Muslims who have ideas that may have came from people with bad intents. And they think it's from the way of the Prophet, and it's not. And what they can use as a guideline to see if these man-made hadiths are true or not is to go to and compare them with the Quran. So, Sister Madeline, that I brought you back on. Because I'm thinking there may have been some of the points that you were driving at.
Yeah, because people do, or at least I've listened to, observed, and witnessed that there are people who, and that seems to be part of the division in the Muslim community, is that people misunderstand the language or don't know the language or cannot translate the Arabic words and find the right English word to define or to explain it, and they seem to confuse what they think is a practice or a report of Prophet Muhammad with the and try to apply that misunderstanding to the life today, which ends up making us very impotent in our practice of our religion and in our ability to give clear direction in our dawah efforts. And it's it seems like without the information and without the programs that you're doing for clarification and enlightenment and awareness, we get further lost because we're reading reports and we're acting out of reports in an oppressive, disrespectful way of our brothers and our sisters that are Christian, that are other Muslim, and that are just God-fearing, you know, right-thinking people. And it just, and I appreciate the fact that you gave more enlightenment about the language and its application in the way that mm-hmm. we try to live in a right-guided manner.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, right. And we thank you for the compliments for this show, but there are, I don't know how many, I have not counted them, but if you go to Muslim Journal newspaper, if you have one in your area,
mm-hmm.
there is a listing of, oh my goodness, I guess I said I have not counted them, but there are so many shows that come on every day on Blog Talk Radio, some mm-hmm. form or another, Muslims from our community who are doing similar and maybe even more what we're trying to do here today.
Yeah.
So we do want to encourage the support of the Muslim Journal and go to their page. As you're reading it, go to their page that speaks about their list, all the different Blog Talk shows. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they come on a regular basis.
Okay.
Sister Madeline, we do thank you. I have another call here, so I'm going to get that call, and thank you for listening in to Word Free People.
Awesome.
Okay. Thank you. And Lake Masalam, we have a caller here from 909 area code. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Ayman Abdul Mujib calling in from Los Angeles, California.
Yes, sir, Brother Imam Ayman Abdul Mujib.
Yes, sir. How you doing? Walaikum assalam. You and Brother Mustafa. Alhamdulillah. Excellent program. Trying to bring
thank
more clarity to this these concepts. You know, I just like to, I know the program is about over. I just want to leave a quote. I think it's from the Bible that says, because you
mm-hmm.
were discussing the Word of God, you know, and Jesus
mm-hmm.
being the Word of God, trying to bring that clarity out. And there's a quote in the Bible that says, "Lift me up, and I will draw all men unto me." So
mm-hmm.
I think it's very appropriate to say that when you lift the true Word of God up, that will draw all people unto it. So I just wanted to leave that word with you all today. Excellent program. Keep up the good work. And, trying to bring the understanding.
Yes, sir. Well, before we let you go,
mm-hmm.
you quoted a very beautiful verse from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Lift me up. So this
mm-hmm.
this me, can you
mm-hmm.
give us some more understanding about this me? Because this me.
Yeah, what it is, I was really making an attempt to just tie it into the understanding that the me is the Word of God. You
mm-hmm.
know, Jesus being the Word. So as you lift the Word up, and as the Word is lifted up, that will draw
mm-hmm.
the people. That will draw the people, the Word. Because
mm-hmm.
We've got so much confusion on the physical image that, you know, you lift up the physical image and, you know, they've used that same concept but use it in the wrong way. Because they've lifted up a white physical image and you've drawn people under it. And really, that's racism, you know. So I was thinking with word, if you lift up the clear word, transparent Word of God, this truth, you lift that up, then that people will be drawn onto that, and that will bring the clarity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're attempting
mm-hmm.
to do. That's what you're attempting to do.
Very good.
You know?
And as you were speaking,
mm-hmm.
my focus on the word lift. Lift.
Mm-hmm.
That is the ascending.
Yes. Ascending, right.
It's not a coming down. Like, it's not descending. It is ascending.
Right.
And talk about the ascension. So, if
mm-hmm.
Jesus, the Word,
mm-hmm.
is lifted up, mm-hmm. and he's going to draw. You know how you draw mm-hmm. water out the well?
Right.
Well,
mm-hmm.
you're bringing it from a lower level mm-hmm. to a higher level.
Exactly.
So if you lift up mm-hmm. the word, or mm-hmm. if it said here, mm-hmm. me, then you're lifting up the word of God, and it will also lift up us from a lower level of consciousness
right.
to a
yeah.
higher level of consciousness, the word of God.
Yeah, and,
you know.
And the add-on to that, you know, now the word is physicalized, as you talked about. So you have
mm-hmm.
to you have to lift it up from being physicalized and show it for what it really is. You know, it's not a physical image. It's a word, you know.
Yes,
and, like the name of the program, Words Make People, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's the word of God that really gives life to the people. And it's the word of God which we should be following. And, you know, as when we recite Quran, you know, we're following the word, you know.
Yes,
follow
sir.
The word, because if a imam can't continue the prayer, another
mm-hmm.
imam has to replace him, and when he replaces him with the same word of God. So we're following the word.
That's right. Yeah, well, thank you very much.
I will draw all men unto me. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. I just
that's
want
right.
to
lead that's right.
with
yes.
that. Yeah.
You know, and like, and we have the song that we have, mm-hmm. and I meant to mention the verses. Today was sung by a young sister from my community named Khadija
mm-hmm.
Abdullah. She is the daughter of my co-host. And so this
oh,
is
okay.
Yeah, as we go off. But once I was speaking with Imam Muhammad, and it said the word dwelt among man.
Right.
And because and, you know, as Imam Muhammad explained to us, man, M-A-N, means mind, M-I-N-D.
Right.
So the Imam, he was explaining the word dwelt among men. And,
mm-hmm.
and he said the dwelling was in the intellect. How someone
mm-hmm.
takes you to dwell on something, say, dwell on this
mm-hmm.
for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It means to think on it for a while. And you
right.
think on
mm-hmm.
words. But in this case here, you're dwelling on or you're thinking on the word of Almighty God. And that would
right,
give
right.
us a good reflection. That would give
that's
us
it.
A good return. That's
yes,
right. Alhamdulillah.
That's right.
Well, thank you,
right.
brother man, for calling.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And we pray that all goes well for you all in L.A.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. We're down to our last couple of minutes here.
All right.
I
and
do want
we
to
love
mention,
this both of you all.
I mean.
And
you
thank
too, bro.
Right. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam. So in our closing minute, Brother Mustafa, we do want to mention that here in Indianapolis on November 13th, we have our 24th consecutive Parents Appreciation Banquet. Now, they can call 317-251-9796. Again, 317-251-9796, and get more information about our banquet. So, Brother Mustafa, we're down to our last minute. Thank you for being here with us. We do want to go up, close out with the song, Worth My People. So, inshallah, we'll be here next week with another show.
Inshallah.
To all of our listening
inshallah.
Audience, assalamu alaikum. Inshallah.
Alaikum assalam.
And here's our sister, Khadija Abdullah, singing Worth My People.
Do you know everything there is to love about your hometown Hoosier Lotto game? Like that it comes with an automatic multiplier that could multiply your non-jackpot winnings from 1 up to 10 times? Or, for a buck more, you can add plus for another chance to win up to $1 million. And for a limited time, enter non-winning tickets into the second chance promotion. Play your hometown favorite Hoosier Lotto today. Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly. Do you know everything there is to love about your hometown Hoosier Lotto game? Like that it comes with an automatic multiplier that could multiply your non-jackpot winnings from 1 up to 10 times? Or, for a buck more, you can add plus for another chance to win up to $1 million. And for a limited time, enter non-winning tickets into the second chance promotion. Play your hometown favorite Hoosier Lotto today. Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly.